So, we are continuing on our Kingdom Living series, and we set off the series talking about living a life under the kingship of God. God being our king, under his authority, his rule. And we looked at the Bible, just looked at what God's word said about what his kingdom was like. Sometimes we hear about being ruled or someone having authority over us, of going, oh, we don't like that. But actually, we were looking at it being the best life ever. Sorry, I should have said, to those of you who knew, we do church a little bit back to front. So we preach first. We're going to go into communion, and then we're going to worship at the end. But we've been talking about kingdom living. Living life to his full. You see, because God's word likens his kingdom to treasure that's worth giving everything up for. When was the last time that you made a sacrifice for anything? That you gave up something to have something else? What was it that was so important that you gave something up for? And usually you might just give up one thing or two things or a bit of your time. But God's word says that his kingdom, it blows your mind when you really spend some time thinking about it, is worth treasure so great, it's worth giving everything up for. Everything. So you seek that first. And then we came down to the core and the center of that kingdom life. That one thing. What is it? How do we live that kingdom life? And we came to that passage in Mark and Matthew and Luke. You see, if it repeats it in the Bible, it tells me it's a little bit important. Am I right? Yeah? So there's three accounts of this where Jesus is talking. There's different variations of how it's approached. Jesus being put to the test. Or being asked, what's the greatest commandment? What's the best way? How can I get this eternal life? How can I get this kingdom life? And Jesus answers, and I'll read from Mark 12, 29. He says, "Hear, O Israel," and he's echoing the words in Deuteronomy, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There are no other commandments greater than these." So this kingdom life we've been looking at hangs on these two commandments. So we've separated them up a little bit. We want to be living transformed lives. We want to live life to the full. Who wants to live life to the full? Who wants to live a free life? Anyone? You want to live a life free from burden, free from worry, free from all that, or getting weighed down by things? Yeah? You want to live a free life? Or do you want to just live in the rat race and be miserable? Yeah? Anyone want to do that? Okay. So we all want it. Even people who don't know God, that's what they're searching for. Yeah? And so that's what we're looking at. The kingdom life is actually living life to the full. Pursuing him to live freely in him. And do you know what? Pastor Stuart did something which I was, because he's awesome and I love him to bits anyway, because he's my husband and I can do that. But he did a great thing. He introduced he carried on the introduction, looking at, before we can look at loving God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, we need to look at love and have an understanding of what love is, because the world has really distorted our view of love, hasn't it? I love my cat, I love my car, I love this TV program. I love my kids. I love my husband. I love chocolate. All use the word love, but very different degrees. Where what does love really look like? What's our experience of love been? And Stuart brought it back down to that honestly looking at yourself. We need to take a bit of a rain check, you see. Stuart stood up very bravely, and he was looking at 1 Corinthians 13, love is, yeah? The great love is patient, love is kind. And in all honesty, he stood up and he said, do you know what? Put your name in that. Do you remember that? You must remember that because you're all laughing at him. So he said, Stuart is patient. And everyone, no. But seriously, how humble to stand up here and let us pick at all those little characteristics that he may need a little bit of work on. Because we all laughed at that, and did you actually take any time to sit at home and read that and go, okay, how about me? Tammy is. I'm not going to do it because I don't want you to start picking at me. But would you stand up here and do that statement and let people point out which ones you were or weren't doing? But you know what? God requires that of you. Okay? This is not a preaching series. This is not just something for you to listen to go and look at your wife and go, yep, you need to do that. Yep, you need to do that. Or to think about that person that might have hurt you and go, yep, they need to do that. Stuart showed humility, but it was a gift to you to go, do you know what, you need to do this yourself. And it's so gracious because we're not going to call you to stand at the front. We want you to get into a place when you are on your own with God and go, God, am I patient? Am I kind? I want you to get to a place where you can sit on your own with God, because right here you're not going to do that. Where you work through those attributes, knowing that God is perfect in that. So when you've been hurt under the word of love, when your views have been distorted by someone who was supposed to love you or your experiences, you can come back to God and knowing that He is the true point. It's for your own study. So understand this. This series is just a springboard. I'm going to be reading loads of different verses at you today, but it's a starting point for you to totally revolutionize how you live, how you function, how you feel, how you handle your emotions, how you act, how you react to the world or to situations and scenarios. It's not just about sitting here feeling love and, oh, that's really lovely, and going off and dealing with life in your own way. This is about giving you the platform to go home and get with God intimately, with His truth, to be able to know His love and to start on a journey of loving others. There's no way in the world that you're going to be radically changed. Oh yes, the Holy Spirit is right here, right now. And I believe He's moving and He is changing us. But you know what? You've got to do something too. I just sit here and go back on Monday or 5 minutes after this, or restore on Monday and forget completely what the preacher's about. Go back and take these. I can give you notes of the verses if you need them. So love is a doing word. Turn to the person next to you and say, this is not for you. This is for me. So right now, cut out any thoughts that anything I might say is going to be really good for anybody else in the room. This is for you. Okay? Everything we say, this is for you. So love is a doing word. Love God with all. All leaves nothing out. Don't love God with a little bit, with the bits that you're comfortable with. Love God with all. And so we're looking this morning at heart and soul. The Bible verse tells us in Mark and in Matthew and in Luke says, love God with all your heart and your soul. It's that phrase, isn't it? Put your heart and soul into it. When was the last time you put your heart and soul into something? Can you think of a time when you really put your heart and soul into something? Some American study somewhere said that we're the generation of meh. Where everything's just, meh, I'll do this, I'll go to work, I'll do this. We'll just, meh, we'll just carry on. I'll make dinner, I'll do whatever, I'll do life in a kind of way. See, Satan, the devil, has us tricked. Yeah, he's very cunning. And here's two ways. There's lots of different ways because he's a tricky kind of guy. He's the father of all lies. But this is how he can distort you or discourage you from putting your heart and soul, yeah, everything that you've got, your energies. And here's one. Perhaps you've put your heart and soul into something. Perhaps you've plowed all your energy, all your care, all your emotion, all your focus and everything into something. But that something wasn't grounded in God. Those foundations weren't actually anything that God wanted you to do. And so because of that, just like in the story of the wise and the foolish builder in the Bible, if you're familiar with that, and he built his house on the sand, he built hard, he put his heart and soul into building, but the moment there was a storm, it fell flat. And the thing is, when a storm comes, and you put your heart and soul into something, and the foundations of that thing is not God, then it can bring devastation. Not just a bit of hurt, devastation. deep wounding. The devil tricks us into putting our energies into the wrong thing. Another one, like I said, with a generation of meh, whatever. Maybe you've been asleep. Maybe you've lost that passion. Maybe you've lost that fight. Perhaps you've lost it in religion, in just reading your Bible, turning up at church, just going through the motions. Maybe you've lost it in just comfort. Just your nice house, you sit down, you've got hot water on tap, you've got food, everything's just kind of okay. Apathy, self-absorption. Just your life's so busy. The relentless monotony of just getting up, going to work, doing the kids, whatever your life does. Your work commitments. You've gone along with the humdrum and you've lost that passion to give your heart and soul to something. So this morning, it's time to wake up. Okay? Give yourself a shake. It's time to wake up. I don't want to be in that kind of sleepy coma anymore. I want to be a person with a passionate heart for God. Do you want to be a passionate heart for God? You want to follow God with your heart and soul? Do you?
Nah. Okay.
Yeah? We want to be passionate about God. We want to follow God with all our heart and all our soul. Do you know what? This morning, if you are sat there and you are broken and you need restoration and you need to refocus because you've been hurt or you're hurting as a result of misplaced pursuit, putting your heart and soul into the wrong thing, then it's time to come back and refocus. So let's be clear. I say that because it's going to be quite difficult to be clear. I wanted to define exactly what we meant by heart and soul. And over the past weeks leading up to this preach, I've been really trying to study into our heart and our soul and what the Bible has to say. And so I have a whole load of Bible verses for you. So I will be throwing them out, but I just want you to kind of understand how the Bible sees our heart and our soul. We're bombarded, aren't we, every day by adverts, TV, media, friends, neighbours, anybody around us with views of stuff that our hearts and our souls should be engaged in. So this is what the Bible says. So looking at heart, a little bit of teaching for you, the Hebrew and Greek, as well as modern English, obviously the word heart is used to designate your physical organ, the heart. Yeah? Fairly simple, got that one? Yeah? Okay. But as well as that, it is seen as the center of our emotional being. Yeah? Our heart, in Hebrew it says, it's called leb. In Greek it's cardia. And the word over the Bible appears over 1,000 times. So, it's in the Bible so often, but the thing is, it's disguised and translated in a range of different ways to describe lots of different feelings and emotions and different situations. And actually, those two words that are used for heart are also intertwined sometimes with the word that's used for soul. Okay? So it's very intertwined in the meaning. So here are some instances where the Bible has used the word heart and the nature of it's the nature that it is using heart. So obviously it's used for the physical heart. It's used for our psychological heart. The heart can act intellectually, yeah? It can think. The Bible says that the heart can perceive and can understand. It can reflect. We reflect from our heart. It can remember. It can think. Emotionally, the Bible tells us, and I'm not going to read them all actually, but I've got verses for all of these. Emotionally, the Bible tells us the heart can experience gladness. My heart is glad. It can experience joy, sorrow, anguish, bitterness, anxiety, despair. Anyone felt any of these in your heart? Love, trust, affection, callousness, hatred, fear, jealousy, desire, discouragement, sympathy, anger. Loads more. The heart can purpose. It can purpose something. It can have preference. It can be steadfast. Our hearts can be willing. Our hearts follow its treasure. Yeah? Our hearts will follow its treasure in Matthew. I'll come back to that. Morally, our hearts can be gentle. our hearts can be holy. Our hearts can be faithful, upright, pure, single-minded, clean, loving towards God and others, hardened or sensitive, deceitful, lustful, arrogant, perverse. Mark, in the book of Mark, it says, nothing defiles a man worse than his own heart. Our heart is the center, the source of our emotions and our inner self. Now the soul, I'm going to have to read this bit, I'm not going to be able to say it right. Translated in the Greek word is sutra or sutra. Maybe you pronounce it differently. And the Hebrew is nefesh. And it perceives the soul as life. God breathed life into Adam. Our very life. Our soul is the eternity in you that Jesus came to save. It is our core. It is where we commune with God. It is our prayer. It is our intimacy with God in our soul. Does that make sense? This is where it intertwines, you see. It's quite difficult. Our soul is our inner self where God dwells. It's our connection with God in the innermost depth. But this is where it is seen as relating. So often we've said, and then our souls go to heaven. And that's not really said in that way in the Bible, in the sense of just our soul and our body being separate. That's not really suggested in the Bible. What we need to understand in relating to our soul is what communes with God, which connects us to God. And our confidence is grounded in our God, who has power over death. And we believe that our communion and our connection with him cannot be broken even by death. It says in Romans, what can separate us from the love of God? Our connection, our soul connection will not be lost when we die. So just in that moment, our heart and soul contain so much, doesn't it? If you were just to sit and think about one aspect of that, perhaps you've got an issue with lust. And you need to think about, oh my goodness, that's from my heart, and that's not right. But or greed, or worry, all these things come from our very heart. I love the translation that the Message Bible says, because it helps clarify it a little bit more. It says the Mark version in the Message Bible says, first in importance is this: the Lord your God is one. So love the Lord God with all your passion and prayer. Through all your emotion, all that you are, and all your communication, your depth of communication with God. So the greatest commandment to love God with all your heart and all your soul, over everything, our very life, the stuff that makes us us, our personality, our ego, we're to love God with all of that. That inner depth that no one else sees. Because they all see this, don't they? Hi, my name's Tammy, nice to meet you. That outward appearance when people go, hi, how you doing? You go, oh yeah, fine, lovely. There's a whole different story quite often going on in the depths. And I want you to have confidence that God sees those depths. Don't be worried, God sees those depths. I don't mean it like that. I mean, God sees those depths. He knows the intimate goings on in your heart. And he loves you passionately. And remember what we're talking about in this kingdom life. This is not so you can be subdued and ruled and reigned in a way that we so often perceive it to be. His kingdom overall is ruled by God, who is the source of all love. Perfect love. This is why you need to get these terms right, so you don't twist anything, so you don't give the devil a chance to change the truth. So how are we going to bring our heart and soul into line? This is going to be, I'm going to try and go through it fairly quickly because there's a lot to get through. But this is for you to take away and go, okay, we've heard it, now what am I going to do with it? Because you can hear it and forget it and just go off and do whatever. But I don't want you to hear this. Our heart for you is to have changed lives. Not just a changed life, but a life grounded in God, who loves you passionately, who has all truth, who has created you to have a relationship with him in the best way. I had a youth leader, when we were working in London, we used to run the kids and the youth, And we used to work for the youth leader. And he would stand up in front of his youth all the time and go, if you are not living the best life ever, if you have not got the best life ever, then you are doing something wrong. And I was going through a really rough time at that. I was meant to be leading the kids as well. I'm like, hang on, what? Seriously, so much stuff is going on in my life. What do you mean best life ever? And it's not about if you're not living life where everything's happy and everything's good and everything's rosy and everything's nice, then there's something wrong. Not that. See, there's a depth of connection that you can have with God that no matter what circumstances, no matter what anyone does to you, no matter what mistakes you make, no matter wrong choices or anything else that you do, that actually, because you are connected to Him, He fills you with His peace and His hope and His light and His life. And actually, you are living free. So it is the best life ever because you're living a life that God has called you to be. But until you sit down and get with God and you do that for yourself, you're not going to get that connection. That takes work. So let's have a look. How are we going to get our heart and soul? How are you going to really take your heart and soul and give it to God? Did you just do it once? God, take my soul. Okay. So four things. Number one, easy peasy. It's that word that some of you love so much. Submit. Submit and ask. Just ask. You remember when we were kids, you didn't mind asking for anything, did you? Can I have that? Can I have that? My kids went through a stage where they saw something, they just asked for it. Wherever they were, they'd be at somebody else's house. Can I have that? I'm like, what are you asking for? But we're to ask. We're His kids. We can come up to God and ask for anything. It says in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. A fresh start. You can come to God and say, God, renew my heart. Place a right spirit within me. Do you know what? It's just between you and God. No one's going to make you stand on the stage and go, right, well, there's this. And secretly I do this. And I think about this. And actually, no one's asking you to do that. It's just between you and God. Get in a place where you are being undisturbed and you ask God, create in me a pure heart. We want a clean heart. Do you want to be a person? Do you know what I love about David? One of the things that's said about him in the Bible, he was a man after God's own heart. God, I want to be after God's own heart. When I'm dead and I'm gone, I would love it for people to turn around and go, she was a woman after God's own heart. I'd love for that, for people to see that in me. Not for the outward thing. I want that inward connection. I don't want the fake front. We can all do a fake front and look super holy and amazing on the outside. God doesn't look at the outside, so you can look great in this world. But if you want to be able to have eternity with God, He looks in the heart. So we're going to ask God, create in us a clean heart. Number two, you need to guard your heart. You need to guard your heart. You need to wake up and really think about what you're letting into your heart, what you're letting affect your soul. Proverbs 4 says, keep your heart with all vigilance. That means guard it, watch it, be careful what you put into it, because from it flows the springs of life. Another verse says, out of the heart the mouth speaks. We've seen that before, haven't we? You see that. People act so lovely and kind and I'm wonderful and amazing, and something ticks them off ever so slightly and they're like, rah! Like, whoa, where did that come from? But actually, because deep down, their connection with God is not right. In the same way, we can be feeling really great and feeling really wonderful and everything's wonderful and I'm perfect and I forgive and I love and everything's fine, and someone can come rock up and hurt us and we're devastated. Or we make plans to do something. And that's great, I trust the Lord, everything's fine. And suddenly our plans change. Something happens, something breaks, and we're like, oh gosh! Guard your hearts. We are not going to be easily tossed about by different things that happen. Matthew 6 says, for where your treasure is, your heart will be also. How do you spend your time? Truthfully. Remember, this is for you in your head. How do you spend your time? What do you really treasure? Now, if I ask that for a response, people go, Jesus. Because we're in church, and that's the best response, isn't it, really? You do it in junior church, and you ask a question, and they're all not listening, and they just go, oh, Jesus! Pretty much right. How do you really spend your time? You need to take some time thinking about, what do you think about? If we were to draw a circle, and that's your life, what would, honestly, Dunley, so amazing, because we actually have to live and function and be real in the world. But do you know those things that chunter on around? Is it money? Have you got too much? You don't know where to spend it? Have you not got enough? You could do with some money. You never know. Is there an issue for some people? Is it your time? Is it your kids? Is it your work? And you'll know what it is because it's whatever makes you jump like that. I had a real issue with my kids, and it's something I still battle with, is I will have my quiet time, and guaranteed whenever I have my quiet time, it's a time when everybody needs me. It's like the phone. It's a similar magnet. If I'm on the phone, suddenly everyone wants to talk to me, and they just carry on. And I'm like, shh. But we have to guard our hearts. You need to be thinking very carefully about what you think about, what you allow in. And remember, we're talking about our hearts as in our emotions. Things can change and alter our emotions, can't they? Music can. Yeah, we've all been affected by music. You can hear some music and it's great. You can hear some music and you can feel, you can hear some music and you're like, woo, okay? But I'm talking about these outside influences that can affect your heart. You hold on to things, words you hold on to. We need to be guarding our hearts because that's where your life comes from. Guard your hearts from this. Honestly, how much time do you actually spend doing this? Like, unfollow. How much time, really? It's not a sin, it's not a problem, it's not, you know, these aren't things that are going to be bad. But you need to guard your heart. You need to be feeding your heart with good things. Number four. Fix your focus above all situations. All situations, that word all. Okay? Remember, we're being inclusive, so whatever happens, I'm not just talking about happy, good things, I'm talking about stuff that's difficult as well. So fix your focus. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, I was younger, I used to think that verse was awesome. I'm going to love you, and you're going to give me everything that I want. And I want this, and I want this, and I want this. Not what it means. It's a beautiful, beautiful transaction. Comes back down to seeking first his kingdom. Do you know what? You place your trust and your delight in God. And he puts his desires in you. He changes you from the inside out. He is able to change your heart. All that time that you spend worrying, wondering, I can't do this. I can't forgive this thing. I can't get over this hurt. I can't figure out what to do at work. How am I going to deal with this situation? Do you know what? You're not meant to. God is going to deal with it. You focus on God, and he gives you the desires of your heart. He places his desires within you. He changes you from the inside out. We see it quite often with new Christians, don't we? Someone who's made a new commitment to God, they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and there's that newness, there's that excitement of who God is. And they want to get to know him, and they pursue him, and that's what we should all be doing, is pursuing God. And you can see, sometimes it happens quite quickly. I'll use Stuart because he's not here and I can talk about him. But he had a radical conversion. So he turned from, none of my kids in, ex-drug dealer, very, very violent man. His sister said, I don't know why you had to become a Christian. You're always so nice. You always shared your drugs. You always beat up who we want you to beat up. You know, Stuart used to do a thing with his mates where they would dare him. They'd be walking on the road. They'd dare him, oh, what would it be like if someone knocked that person out? And he'd just go and knock them out. Very violent. He would swear with a swear word and a swear word. So his language was foul. And he became a Christian, and no one said, you should stop swearing. He used to smoke about 50 a day. He started smoking when he was 8. And it's like, no one said to him, you've got to stop smoking. But what he did is he became to know God and something changed. He didn't even think about it. What he was thinking about was loving God. And when he thought about loving God, just gave up smoking. It just stopped. He just threw a packet of cigarettes in the bin and that was it. When he actually started thinking about God, he realized his language has changed. And all the guys on the building site were like, this is weird, you're really different. Because his focus was on God. His focus wasn't on his faults and making them change. His focus was on God. And he changes our hearts. Those of us who have been a Christian a little while, are we too mature to be that excited about God anymore? Are we going, they're the new Christians. They just know God. It's that childlike faith. I'm more grown up. Do you know what? No. We should be excited every morning. His mercies are new every morning. So don't harden your heart. Don't get dull with it. We need to delight in him. So often, we've been a Christian so long, we've gone back into the humdrum and we actually forget to keep communing with God. And we think because we have this label over us, yeah, I made that commitment back there, it's fine. We're nowhere near where we should be. So stir up that passion within inside you. Delight yourself in him. Fix your focus. If you are suddenly starting worrying about the issue more than you are God, then your focus has gone. Get back into that place. Get that excitement back in your heart. That passion, that first love. Some of you who have been in love and you get those tingly feelings. Stuart's lost a lot of weight recently. And the other day, I didn't recognise him. And he came in the room, I didn't realise it was him. And then I realised it was him. And suddenly my stomach went, oh! And I was like, oh, it's nice to know I still got it after 18 years. It's like, yeah, he still does that to me. But God should be the same. We should be the same. We need to stir that passion back up in your hearts. Number 4. Some of you ladies will be familiar with this because I bought this at the ladies' breakfast the other week. Drawing our hearts back to God, we need to be still. Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God. So I shared this with the ladies, and I'm going to share it a little bit more this morning, is you need to be still and know that he is God. But the actual translation of that, the be still part, the translation when you look right back into the original form, be still doesn't actually mean to sit still and don't move. It doesn't really necessarily mean to be quiet. The best translation is let go. Let go and know that I am God. You see, what we often do is hold on to things, don't we? Emotions, thoughts, experiences, the past. Yeah? Oh, if it was only like then, or if only we did this then. Do me a favor, we're going to do a little experiment. Take one hand and lay it out flat in front of you. You've got to do this exactly how I say it to make it work, okay? Take one finger. One little finger. One little issue that you might have. Place your finger in your hand like that. Now, squeeze that finger as tight as you go. Your knuckles need to be white. Hold it, do not let go. So squeeze that finger, make it tight. Really tight, do not let go. Don't release until I say so. So this is that little issue in your life that you hold on to. It could be a fear, it could be a hurt, it could be an issue that you're worrying about. But it's one little thing, but already it's rendered you, meaning you can't do anything with your arms at all. Keep squeezing, don't let it go, it needs to be as tight as possible. But because you've held on to just this one little thing, God, I'm going to trust you with anything, but not just this little thing, keep holding it tight, it actually means I can't do anything now with my hands. I can do some things, but I'm not functioning in the best way that I could be, can I, with my hands? But God says let go of everything. Let go and know that I am God over everything. Keep squeezing really tight. Don't let go. All your strength. So we need to sit. And it's sometimes hard to release the little things, isn't it? Keep squeezing really, really tightly. And I want you to very gently Pull your finger out, but keep squeezing really tightly. Take the finger away, but keep your knuckles squeezed tightly. Okay? Just release a little bit. So you remove the issue, and that's great, you've got the use of this hand, but actually, when we hold on to things really tightly, we find it hard to fully release and let go. God says, be still. Let go and know that I am God. Very slowly, try and release your fingers. If you did this right, it should be really hard to release your fingers. Can you release your fingers? Can they move? Are they stuck like glue? It's a weird feeling, isn't it? It's all right, I haven't done anything. You can just open your fingers out with your hand. But it's that it can cripple us. The little things. I didn't say, right, hold on to this banner, this big thing. It's the little things. A little finger meant I couldn't use either of my arms. Guys, it's those little things. We're to love God with all our heart and all our soul. Let go and know that He is God. Loving God with all your heart and soul means you are placing your true self, your inner self and all its facets into His hands, and He can bring healing. We need to get our heart and soul right with God. No idols, nothing first, nothing coming in front. Because when we seek first His kingdom and we put Him first, everything else follows. God is so gracious. Do you know what's great? We don't have to come to God right. It says in Psalm 51, the sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. When our hearts are turned towards Him, He promises to make us sensitive to divine things, renewed and purified. Do you want to be sensitive to divine things? Do you want to know what His Spirit is saying to you? Anybody? No? Not bothered? Yeah? Sue, you do. Fab. Do you know what? I want to know those intimate whisperings of God. But we've got to clean our hearts out. We've got to direct our attention towards Him to make that happen. Deuteronomy says, but there you will seek the Lord your God and you will find Him if you search after Him with all your heart and all your soul. It promises in this word here that if you seek God with all your heart and all your soul, He'll be found by you. He doesn't hide. It's not a game. He's not trying to trick you. Seek Him and there He will be. Focus on Him. Joel 2:13 says, and rend your hearts, not your garments. Return to the Lord, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relents over disaster. Does that sound like the God that you've had in your head? Oh, I can't possibly come back to Him. I've let Him down. I can't possibly come back to God now because I've made too many mistakes. No, He's slow to anger. He loves you. When you go to Him, He will meet you. This is what He will do when you turn your heart to God. Ezekiel 36 says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness. And from all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules, God's law. The law of love will then be written on the heart as the inward guide and incentive. You don't have to do all that. You have to show up and submit and let go and go, God, I want you. And He is saying He will give you a new heart. He will restore your soul. He will write His word on your heart. That doesn't mean that you can just repeat scripture. You know, we go, I need to learn it by heart. You can learn stuff off by heart. It can mean absolutely diddly squat to you. When you learn it by heart, that's like learning off rote, or whatever the right word is. When you learn it by heart, it is in your heart. It changes. When it's in your heart, that's where your actions and reactions come out of. So when someone shows you something or an action which is not loving or lovely, you don't feel unloved because in your heart is His word that tells you that you are loved beyond imagination. And that love is pure and kind and faithful. Hebrews says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. I'll put my law in their minds. I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. When you truly open up your heart, he changes you from the inside out. You just need to let go and let God. And you know what? We do all this. We do Restore Church. Stuart and I's heart for Restore Church is not a million people on seats coming and worshipping God. That would be awesome. But it's restore. We want your hearts to be restored fully and openly back to God. We don't want you living cumbersome lives, because we know that when you love God with all that you are, he gives you all that he is for a free life. And when we do that, church, when you give your heart to God, it doesn't just affect you, it affects those around you. 2 Corinthians says, you yourselves are a letter of recommendation written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Imagine stepping out of this building. You're the letter. Your heart, what shows in your heart? When you go out into the community, with your neighbours, with your kids, when you're at school, when you're at work, when your heart and your focus is fixed on him, just you being you, you can't help but flow out God's peace and God's light in every situation. When starting church, quite a few years ago, even before we came to Boston, God gave us two words, restore and sanctuary. And they're words we talk about a lot here at Restore. And we weren't sure at first whether God wanted us to call our church Restore or Sanctuary as that main focus point. And we realized actually the church is Restore. This is where you come to be restored, your hearts back to God. And you all know we're waiting for our big building and all these amazing projects that we want to set up, and a cafe and these different places. But the cafe and that hub, that will be called Sanctuary. And actually, you people, you church, you are Sanctuary. Because people come to the Sanctuary in whatever state they're in, they're messed up, they might not have the right clothes, they might not speak properly, they might not have it all together. But when there's a Sanctuary, they know they can come without being judged, without being frowned upon. They can come and be free and be at peace and be accepted and be loved. And when someone's in a position where they are free to be who they are, just how they are, accepted and loved unconditionally, without judgment, then they're in a place that they can be restored. Yeah? You're to be the letter of recommendation. Think seriously. Look at your life. Look at how you've been this week. Have you been a good letter of recommendation? Or have you been a complaint letter? Have you been a bad review? You know? It comes from our hearts. This is the foundation, guys. What does it mean for you and me? Such transformation involves believing in God's truth. In the great love fact, not story, that God loves you. He sent his only son to die for you. He didn't send out of his abundance. He didn't have 7 million other sons. He had one son. He gave you everything. You have to want it. Heart and soul, you have to want it. Some of you need to wake up. Some of you need a shake. Yeah? Make some effort. Make some effort means go home. Get in this word. See it for yourself. Write it on your hearts. Don't tell me it off by heart. If you know, you could read this back to front to me. It wouldn't make any difference if you don't know it and don't act it. It's not in your heart and it's not fed into your heart. A true heart draws near to God and loves him with all feeling, all your will. We're talking about that innermost part that no one else sees, just you and him. And when you do that and you release, God comes. He gives you strength, his reward, his renewal, his grace, his peace, his joy to our heart, so we can become men and women with a heart after his own heart. That's what our heart is for you guys this morning. We're going to move into communion, and I'm just going to pray. So I have a song that we're going to play during communion. I really want to encourage you, don't let this be your catch-up time. Okay, at the end we'll have teas and coffees and time to chat. I really want to encourage you, keep that intimate connection with God. Okay? And the song that's going to be played is called Pieces. I'm hoping the words come up. But it's a very intimate song. And I want it to write on your hearts the reality of what God's love is like. Because it smashes in the face of what the devil would have you see what love is. It smashes in the face of perhaps your experience of love. And as you go and take communion in your own time, let this be that starting point. Your innermost part communing with God. It's just a bit of bread. It's just a bit of juice that we use to represent that last communion where Jesus said that it was his body and his blood, and we're to do it in remembrance of him. I don't believe he sat down and said, get these little glasses and a tiny bit of bread and do that. But this is just a symbol of us bringing our hearts back to him. Father God, I want to thank you. Holy Spirit, right now as you move in this place, I pray, Lord God, would you just draw these hearts back to you. Lord God, we want to be a letter of recommendation. Lord God, we want to be a sanctuary for you. We want to be able to draw people in so they can find you and find freedom in you. Lord God, we want our hearts to beat after your heart. But Lord God, we know that takes effort and time. It's going to take our heart and soul. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you stir a passion in our heart to seek after you with all our heart, with all our soul, our very intimate depths of our heart, Lord God, that we just open them up to you. Have your way in us, Lord Jesus. Amen.